My name is Daniel. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus. I'm having some victory over being abusive. We are doing a lesson tonight on turn, and I think on your seats there's an outline. I can't guarantee that if you fill in the blanks, your life will be better, but it's something good to do. Okay, so we've got a principle and Bible verses that we're going to start off with. So why don't we read this together, what we see up on the screen. Consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. Happy are the meek, Matthew 5:5. We made a decision to turn our lives and our wills over to the care of God. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Romans 12:1. So we do have an acrostic tonight. It is the word turn. And what we just read tonight, the word turn jumped out to me because it's talking about making a decision to turn from something and to turn towards something else. And if I'm going to be turning from what I'm doing, that probably means I have to change. And if you're like me, change can be scary. Change can be uncomfortable. Change can be unusual. I like routines and regulations. And if something changes, it kind of... I'm resistant to it. That's my nature. You might be like that too. I've had some recent experiences about things turning around or things turning out different. My in-laws just moved from their own home to a retirement setting. And they had to move because they couldn't take care of their daily needs, you know, bathing, feeding, just functioning. So it's just a huge transition going from the security and the routine of your own home to a small room. And most of your stuff has now been sold. You're not in the address that you were before. All the familiar things that you've grown up with for decades are gone. So you can't run your life like the same anymore. You have to do something different. You have to change. That can be a little disorienting to people. Another recent change in lives around me, I have a son. My youngest son is 16, and he's learning to drive. So if you're a parent, there's that moment where your student passes the written test, and then you hand them the car key. And you step in the car, but not in the driver's seat. You step in the passenger side, and you trust this person is going to turn the ignition on and follow your instructions. Anyone here have that experience, teaching someone to drive? Okay. So I had to turn over some control and hope for the best in somebody else. We read a couple Bible verses already. One of them in Romans is talking about offering my body to God as a spiritual act, as a sacrifice. You just being here tonight in a 12-step group, a Christ-centered 12-step group where Jesus is our higher power, this is a spiritual act that you've taken tonight. You know, you're starting to do something, invest in your own recovery. You're starting to make changes. That's something very positive to look at. Another thing we can do to our bodies, other than just spiritual things, are physical things. Anybody that knows me knows that I'm an avid cyclist. So I have a plan to keep in shape. 4 years ago, I weighed 205 pounds. I looked at myself on my birthday and I said, I don't like what I see in the mirror. I'm going to do something different. So what did I do? I listened to my wife. And she had been telling me for years, watch what you eat, get enough sleep, and do some exercise. So amazing. I just followed those three steps, and in 12 months, I lost 35 pounds. And I've kept it off for 3 years now. So that kind of transformation, that physical change, meant that I had to change my habits. I had to look at food. So when I saw a donut, I had to say, is the donut a healthy thing to keep your weight? And the answer was no. So I'd go have a piece of celery. I'd go have a banana. I would turn away from comfort food, and I would turn towards healthy food. So I made a decision to change things. If you're in CR, you know that we use God's word as the truth to confront our faulty thinking. So we read scripture to give us hope about change. It was suggested to me that I should be reading scripture every day. So I like order, and so I just got a plan, and it just has me read the Old Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, and the New Testament just a few minutes a day while I eat breakfast, and I get through all 66 books in a year. So it's the first thing I do in my daily schedule. I've turned from just watching the news and reading the newspaper and reading magazines to reading God's word. And just that one little simple act changes how I view the world. It gives me hope. It gives me purpose. And you don't have to read the Bible. You could read some CR material. You could read a daily devotional. Pastor Rick Warren from Saddleback Church has a daily devotional, and it's very inspiring to people. But do something as a spiritual exercise every day to make your recovery work. So these are some things that I've done. The first fill in the blank is the letter T for trust. And I think there's a Bible verse in Romans. Am I correct? Let's read this one. If you declare with your lips, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:9. So just that verse, if you're on a spiritual journey and you believe that verse to be true, you are saved. You are saved from a life separated from God. You're now part of God's family. God's got a tremendous future for you. It's called heaven. It's the most mind-blowing experience you can imagine. And it's offered to you freely. And that is something incredibly hopeful to me personally. So trust. You have to trust that these words are true. If you just go to the dictionary and you want to know what trust means, Merriam-Webster says, trust is the assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. Let me just read that again. So trust is the assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. So we're all here tonight, and we're looking for truth, we're looking for hope. And if you believe that these words are true, they'll start to change your life. You'll start to recover. You know, America is the only country on earth that I know of where you look at our currency, and what does it say? In God we trust. It doesn't say which God. It doesn't say which denomination. But it says, in God we trust. Those are nice words. And if we live our lives as if that's true, we're going to live our lives with purpose. You know, you can put your trust in a lot of things. You can put your trust in yourself. You can put your trust in science, psychology, how many friends you have on Facebook, your professors, your political party, your philosophy, your family, celebrities, or just the constant news media that we have. You can trust in a lot of these different things. Will those things give you a life with God? Will they forgive your sins? Will they recover you? Will they make you different? Will they give you hope? Will they give you a reason to get up in the morning? So in recovery, we're asking God to find our character defects and reveal them to us. So one of my character defects from growing up in a family is sarcasm. Just saying the first thought that comes to my head that puts somebody else down, makes me feel superior. So in recovery, when I find a character defect like that, sarcasm that hurts other people, the Bible has encouraging words for me. It says, you know, instead of being sarcastic, the antidote to sarcasm is affirmation. So instead of looking for someone doing something wrong, I look for someone doing something right, and I tell them that they did a job well done. There is a Bible verse that speaks to this character defect of just saying the first thing that comes to your mind, and it's in James 1:19. It says, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. When I married my wife, I was very sarcastic, and I would just blurt out the first thought that came into my head because that's what I saw growing up in my family. And she stopped me one day, and she said, Daniel, do you ever stop and think about the weight of your words, that maybe those words are harmful to other people, maybe those words are offensive to other people, maybe you're putting somebody down, maybe you're being judgmental, maybe you're being self-righteous. She said, do you ever edit and stop your thoughts before they turn into speech? And I said, why no? Do people actually do that? Do they actually consider that? And she goes, well, yeah, I do. So she grew up in a different family where they weighed their words before they spoke. And so I've had to learn that. It doesn't come naturally to me. What comes naturally to me is just blurting out the first thing, the first thought that comes to my head. But this verse in James, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, has just changed my whole attitude. And if God said it, it's true. And if I believe it and ask for his help, he can replace that sarcasm with affirmation instead. The next fill-in is you for understand. And there should be a Bible verse. Let's read that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So there is perfect understanding. God has perfect understanding. I have limited understanding. In the Bible it says, on this side of heaven, we see dimly, like through glass. But in heaven, we're going to see God and Jesus face to face. And every question that we ever had is going to be answered. So Jesus has full knowledge. He has full understanding. It's full comprehension. So I should put my trust on his understanding of life instead of my own understanding of life. So my best thinking got me into recovery. So if you're like a lot of us, you got into recovery unwillingly. Most of us guys, we get caught, we get found out, we get a DUI, we get porn on our computer, we cheat in our taxes, whatever. We do something bad, and we get found out, and someone gives us an ultimatum, and we end up here. This is a good place, because we don't stay broken, we don't stay hurt, we don't stay a victim, we don't stay the same. In recovery, we're changing into a new creature. And we do that by looking at whose plan are we following for our lives? Is it mine or is it God's plan? So another character defect that I've had is lust. And so Scripture has a lot to say about lust and what the antidote to a lustful life is. So I found a verse in 2 Timothy 2:22, and it tells me that I should flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Let me just repeat that. Flee the evil desires of youth, and instead pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So it gives me something to do. When I have temptation come to me, I have a decision. My understanding of Scripture is that I can decide to turn and run away from that and pursue something that's right, something that's good, something that's pure. And there's that phrase, along with others. So in our spiritual journey, we're here with others. We're going to go to small group pretty soon. We're going to have accountability partners. Hopefully we've got a sponsor if we've gone to a step study. These are people that help us in this spiritual journey. So we don't do life and recovery alone. We do it in a group, a safe group. That's my understanding, and that's the understanding that's going to get me on the right track to make me the man of God that God designed me to be. And God's got that same plan for you. The next fill in the blank is R for repent. So we might think that repent is kind of a church word. You don't read it as a headline in CNN News very much, or MSNBC, or whoever you look to for news. So once again, I went to the dictionary and I said, what in the world is repent? So Merriam-Webster says, repent is to turn from sin and dedicate oneself to the amendment of one's life, to feel regret or contrition, to change one's mind. There should be a Bible verse with this acrostic R. Let's read that. Turn from your sins and act on this glorious news, Mark 1:15. Turn from your sins. You know, repenting is not a one-time deal. I don't go to God one time and say, God, would you save me? And I'm really sorry for all the bad stuff I've done. I repent of that stuff. We actually get to repent every time we catch ourselves slipping up. So if you're like me, I might have to repent every day. You know, a thought comes into my head and I dwell on it and it's ungodly. And I have to say, God, I'm sorry for that. So it's an acknowledgement that my deed or my thought or my action or inactivity was displeasing to God. And I have to know the difference between right and wrong. I can listen to my conscience. I can also look in the Word of God and find out what's right and wrong. Or I can even ask my sponsor, hey, is this situation right for me? Is this situation wrong for me? Give me some guidance here. If I repent in my spiritual journey, it means that I don't want to keep doing the same crazy cycle. Because I know that my thoughts and actions will trigger me to go on to bad behavior. But if I repent and catch myself quickly enough, I can turn to God instead. I can do something positive instead. I can do something righteous, something useful with my time. So if you do repent, and everyone does, God's faithful to accept us, and he's faithful to show us a way out of the temptation, and that will stop our crazy cycles. If we're doing all these steps, you know, turning, understanding, and repenting, it leads to the last acrostic N for new life. Let's read the scripture verse for new life. Now God says he will accept and acquit us, declare us not guilty, if we trust Jesus Christ to take away our sins. Romans 3:22. That's fantastic good news. to not have the weight of my sins counted against me. It makes me think differently, and if I think differently, I'm going to act differently, behave differently, speak differently. I'm going to be a blessing to people around me instead of a smart aleck, instead of a know-it-all, instead of a troublemaker. You know, I'm going to be somebody positive, somebody helpful, somebody encouraging. The scripture is just filled with new life examples. Probably the biggest one that I can think of is a guy named Paul, who was a really devout Jew. And he was so devout and so focused on Judaism that when Christianity came along, he saw it as a threat. And he went to exterminate the threat. So he was literally there at the stoning and killing of Christians that became martyrs. So he was part of that practice. He had a conversion, a wild conversion experience. And as a result of that conversion experience, he dedicated the rest of his life to following Christ. So God can use a murderer for his purposes. Doesn't matter what your background is, what mistakes you've made in life, what you've suffered in life, what you've done to others in life. God can forgive that, and God can use your brokenness for his purpose. There is a new life for you. You know, with God's help, it's been 11 years since I assaulted anybody physically. 11 years sober from assault. Woo. You know, with God's help, I've been sober from alcohol since 1989, which is, I think, 28 years. And the biggest proof of God that I can think of in my life is that I've been married for 35 years. You know, I was kicked out of my house. I had a restraining order. You know, I was removed from everyone that I loved the most for 14 months because of my bad behavior, because I assaulted one of my sons. But through recovery, my wife graciously accepted me back into the home, and God's putting the pieces back together. I could not figure out how to do that myself. I could not figure out how to put my marriage, my broken marriage, back together, or put the broken relationship with the son I assaulted back together. But through recovery, I figured it out. I figured it out. But God was the one that's been guiding me through the whole thing. So we had four letters. We had turn your life to God. That can be every day. Understanding. You don't have to understand your old thinking, the stinking thinking. Understand God's thinking. Repent. Repent's a good thing. It's going to stop your crazy cycles. And end for new life. Everybody here has a new life. It's a promise in Scripture. It's true. I stake my recovery on it. I come back every week to CR because I get inspired by the people I see in the room. I see change in all the men in my small group. Inspires me. Makes me want to come back and hear what God is doing in their life. And they can see something in my life. I can be an encouragement to them. They're an encouragement to me. That's why I keep coming back. So thank you for listening tonight.